Hey, I'm Art Garfunkel.
And I'm Art Garfunkel Jr.
And you're listening to Life Minute TV.
He's one half of one of the most celebrated musical duos of our time and remains one of the most important voices of our time. Now Art Garfunkel has embarked on another momentous musical partnership with his son, Art Jr. The Rock Hall of Famer and his 34-year-old son, dubbed Garfunkel and Garfunkel, recently released Father and Son, a studio album with a selection of their personal favorite songs from the last century, including hits from The Beatles, Cat Stevens, and of course, Simon and Garfunkel. We sat down with the vastly talented father and son duo in New York City recently to hear all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with Garfunkel and Garfunkel.
All right, father and son, it's beautiful. It sounds amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
tell
you.
Us about it.
Well, tell you about it. What do you want to know about it?
You know, I had 2 years ago this idea, or about a year and a half ago, that came to my head. It's a logical idea, but it came to me like an epiphany that it would be terrible not to make this album. And that's how it started. It's like, we must make this album. My dad and I are such passionate singers, and we have to preserve our blend so that people in the future knew that Garfunkel and Garfunkel were a thing, and they were good. So I talked to my dad, and I said, would you care to oblige? My father and I have been recording together for the last 4 or 5 years. He appeared. I have a couple hit records in Germany and Austria and Switzerland. And I asked my dad if he'd be on them, and he was. So we're not just best friends and father and son, but we're also work colleagues.
We're musicians.
You know, we know how to get it done in the studio, and we embarked on this modern orchestral album. You chose some of your favorite songs, I chose some of mine.
Right.
Yeah, how did that come to be, that process of what songs to do?
A lot of long nights, back and forth, me flying in a lot to New York.
I picked favorites of mine, like I always wanted to do Nature Boy. I love the spiritual quality of that song. The greatest thing you ever learn is just to love and be loved. In return, this has always moved me.
And then we love our Everly Brothers song that we do, Let It Be Me. I know my dad, you wanted Vincent.
That's right.
Starry, starry night.
So we chose our favorites.
And then I'm the 80s guy. Yeah. I love the 80s songs, you know.
Right, right, right. Tell us a couple of those.
I felt that we had to have Time After Time. It's. I think that's a song people are going to listen, regardless, you know, the original version, let's say, will be listened to in 100 years. It's such an iconic song that I wanted to put our own Garfunkel sound signature on it. Yeah, and then I Wouldn't Let You Down, which is kind of a forgotten hit. And
yeah, I don't know that.
My dad didn't know it, actually. But it's I think, a little bit more current in Germany and Europe. And I said, wow, let's bring this, let's breathe some life into this great song and maybe even do a remix of it at some point. So, and then we had Here Comes the Rain Again, Annie Lennox, Eurythmics. But just in terms of the overall project, there were so many songs that we wanted that just won't fit on the vinyl.
Right. Well, you did good. It's a good selection.
I showed up and I took the direction from my son and from Felix Gauder. I did what they said.
Wow. So it was a pretty exciting project. I think the most active back and forth between us was definitely in choosing the songs.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, you did good. It's beautiful. Art Sr., how did you know that Art Jr. could sing? When did you know?
I knew it at the earliest stage when he was a little tot. He would sing Feeling Groovy, and I could see, Feeling Groovy. He had pitch. He hit the high notes just right. He must have been 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And we would bring him into sound checks. My wife is a singer, and we would go down and do a concert, and we'd go to the hall. Let's bring Junior along. Wow. He'll hang out with us. He'll see us rehearse. And when we got to the stage, let's bring him onto the mic.
Step by step.
Aww.
Yeah, and then they picked me up. My parents would both pick me up. In Japan, I think they pushed me out in a wheelbarrow wearing a kimono.
Aww.
And they picked me up, and then I would sing little tiny pieces.
Introduced him to the microphone and the fun of amplification ringing with reverb throughout the room, and it was a toy to him. So it's like breathing. He didn't even know that he was doing a very special thing, becoming a concert artist in spite of himself.
This tremendous passion of mine was really, you know, given to me. I was born with it, and it's consumed my life. And now I get to present this new dynamic duo, Garfunkel and Garfunkel. This is our and my first English language project. So
yeah, so you have two German. Other albums in German. Why German?
I've always had it. You know, after East and West Germany came together in the 90s, there was a great desire for Western music in East Germany. So we were always going to Germany as a kid to do shows. And then I had lots of friends there. And by the time I was about 16, I had such a desire to see the world. And I had some people who I could go to, and my parents, you know, I was a good kid, I guess, and they let me do that. I don't think I would have let my 6-year-old kid.
I know, I was wondering that. I don't have one yet, but obviously.
I'm so privileged that, yeah.
It's in the blood. Yeah.
Then I had at some point, you know, met my first girlfriend and whatever, and then off to the races and I stayed, you know.
Aww.
Yeah, so.
What has Dad taught you about, the most important thing he's taught you about singing and performing?
Most important thing,
I taught him the Everly Brothers.
The music influences that my dad has given me, starting on my 6th birthday, he gave me a mixtape called Arthur's Oldies on a cassette with his favorite songs that he listened to as a teenager. And then the second volume a year later and the third volume, and they left an everlasting influence on me, these doo-wop influences and early rock and roll.
Do you know the Penguins, Earth Angel, and those early? I gave him that. And
you taught me the striving for perfection. You know, the extra 1%.
Thank you. Well, okay. I'm a perfectionist.
That yeah. My dad says that, you know, to be great and not just good like the rest, it all lies, the magic lies in that final 1% of effort.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've taken that approach, I'd like to think.
But you have to be
it's not for me to say,
to be such a perfectionist.
Oh, I don't know about that.
How are your voices different, would you say?
I would say that I have the thicker, richer sound.
Rounded.
I've had more experience in life, so I bring a lot to the lyric that my son may not know about yet.
He's holding back on you there a little bit.
Dad has a certain warmth to him, you know.
Junior is just a pure, beautiful tenor who's actually better than me, Joanne.
Wow. Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
Aww.
He hits higher notes than I hit.
I think
the singer.
I think we each have our musical gifts, and my dad has such an iconic tenor voice. I'm so proud that we can share this album and just spend time on the stage or in the studio. I like to say that maybe some guys have a hard time expressing their emotions sometimes, myself included. But when we have this type of avenue through the music, then we have a place where we feel we can do that with each other, and it's really special, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. I was going to ask, you have some shows coming up, so tell us, what'll fans get from your show?
The Carlisle, right?
Yeah, the Carlisle.
Well, we're going to work the Carlisle Hotel as a foursome. Junior's brother, Beau, is a harp player, so I'm concocting right now the set list of 17 songs, an hour show, for the Carlisle Hotel. I'm nervous about it.
Really? Why?
I haven't sung in a while.
On stage, but you have in the studio.
Yeah, I haven't done concerts in a while, so you never know what it's like until you get there. For me, it's a living experience. You're exposed when you perform.
That's great.
We like to rehearse in the hallway because of the building, because of the tremendous echo. And I can say that my dad's voice is sounding great. And we're even going to do some of the songs on the album, like Let It Be Me, Old Friends, Simon Garfunkel song.
Yep. That was my next question. Yeah. Any Simon and Garfunkel songs that will be here?
You got to do them.
Yeah.
I love doing them.
Aww. What are some of your favorites?
Old Friends is maybe my favorite. Paul Simon is just a genius of a writer. I have infinite respect for him. When Old Friends starts and you hear those opening chords, you know this man can write. And the poetry, Paul's gift for poetic lyrics is so unusual in the pop world, to be that thoughtful. So there's a big favorite of mine, Old Friends.
Depending on how you calculate my age, I'd say a good solid 25 years of friendship between us equates to old friends as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're old friends.
We are
absolutely.
Old friends.
Absolutely. I have to ask, I heard you had a reunion with Paul recently.
It was very heartwarming. That took me by surprise. I hadn't seen him in many years. His ex-wife has moved into my place here. And their son, Harper, ran into me in the hallway. I knew this was going to happen. Harper invited Paul and Artie to get together, and we had a dinner, and it was very meaningful. I got a chance to tell him that I was how sorry I was that I had hurt his feelings years ago. I had done interviews with the British press. I thought I would spice up the natural conservative nature of Simon and Garfunkel and just offer more candor. And I ran into saying things that I wish I hadn't said, and it hurt his feelings. And as I told him about my regrets, when I told Paul the story, I started tearing up because I felt terrible that I actually did hurt him. He said, it's not that you were saying these things because the British press can be tough. It's that I thought you were did it on purpose. And I thought, he's right, I did do it on purpose. I hurt his feelings needlessly. And before I knew it, there were tears.
And then a big hug, right?
Press.
Yeah, before you knew it, we were really patching up these lost years. It was a beautiful experience. I'm very happy to reacquaint myself with Paul Simon. He's a very funny man, you know. Simon and Garfunkel, before there was music between us, there was laughter between us.
He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
We're Lenny Bruce fans. We love Mel Brooks. We love Mike Nichols and Elaine May. We laugh together a lot. It's the source of our friendship.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And when did you know? I mean, you guys were so young. You were 12 years old when you met him.
Yeah.
Were you as young as Art Jr. when you started realizing you're a musician and you could sing? Or?
I could sing at 5. I sang in the synagogue. I loved the wood rooms of the temple and the reason. I'm an echo freak. I love when there's reverb that's beautiful and it bounces off the walls. So I sang in the synagogue when I was 5, and I realized I had a voice. The rabbi showed me a song, and I was the little cantor singing these Hebrew songs.
Awesome. And you just had a birthday on Election Day. Did you have a good birthday?
I had a birthday that was celebrated by my old friend Jack Nicholson. He sent me a bottle of wine. I'm showing off a little.
That's all right. We'll go for it.
That's nice.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Oh, I wish we would.
Yeah.
And you used to act too.
I was
Golden
actor.
Globe nom, actually.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that.
You're a great actor, and I love
you
in Catch-22.
My dad's a great actor. Carnal Knowledge, Catch-22,
yep.
Bad Timing.
Yeah.
To my surprise, I became an actor. Mike Nichols wanted us to put songs into The Graduate, and he commissioned Paul Simon to write 4 songs. And Paul came up with Punky's Dilemma, and Mike rejected it, and it ended up going into one of our albums. And Mike lived with pre-existing Simon and Garfunkel songs while he was cutting his movie together, The Graduate. And he ended up saying, you know, I like The Sound of Silence. I like Scarborough Fair. I'm keeping them in the movie. Just give me one song, Paul. And Paul gave him Mrs. Roosevelt. That was its original title. Mike said, you have a song, Mrs. Roosevelt, and you didn't know how perfectly that would be Mrs. Robinson? I have a great memory of being in the soundstage in Hollywood. Mike Nichols would pick us up at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel and bring us to the soundstage, this giant room with a screen. And we sang Mrs. Robinson to the screen. It worked.
Awesome.
My dad has so many great, great stories. It's such a pleasure to listen to them.
Oh, it sure
you
is.
Know.
Tell us more. So, what would you, your current self, say to your younger self? Any lessons, life lessons? Since we're called Life Minute, I always have
no,
to ask that.
No life lessons, no. Life is a mystery.
Yeah, so we were preparing this show at the Carlisle, and then the album gets released internationally on vinyl, CD, streaming, Spotify. Yay. It's pretty cool.
Vinyl. I love that. What were your first vinyl records that you ever got?
The Grand Canyon Suite. Da di 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 da da di di da. My brother Jules used to love that. I remember that was my, that's my earliest memory of records.
Vinyl sales have overtaken CDs in America.
Yes.
I can't fathom that. Isn't that great?
It's wonderful. So, what was yours?
Wonderful to me.
My favorite vinyl, my first vinyl was probably Blink 182.
Oh.
No kidding.
Yeah, probably. Oh. That I had, you know, got as a 14-year-old or whatever.
Do you think there'll ever be a Simon and Garfunkel reunion?
I don't know. I'm very curious to see. We'll see. Now that we've become friends again, it offers itself as a possibility. Count me in. I love to do it. I love to work with Paul, and I love to see him be so damn good. And I show him with my good listening how authentic my compliments are. And he eats it up. He loves that he's being appreciated by somebody who has good ears. Makes him play all the better. And before you know it, we're singing together because he sounds so good.
Amazing.
I saw them play the Roman Colosseum in front of the Colosseum 2000 something, six or four.
Oh, great memory.
680,000 people came, and it was just like a wave of humanity. It was incredible.
I see.
I'd love
now.
To see that again.
I see it in the streets of Rome. There were speakers every couple of hundred thousand people. There were more speakers just to project the sound way down into Rome.
It was amazing.
What do you guys do to hone your voice or exercise it? Or
you have your iPod with
your
favorite song.
I have my iPod.
Yeah, with his favorite song.
It's upstairs now.
Recently, he made another iPod. He found, his assistant found one of the old iPods, and he put all his favorite songs on it for me. And gave it to me to use as my warm-up tape, and that was such an emotional moment. I really try to use it. It helps.
My
me.
Friend Stephen Bishop gave me a nice warm-up tape. I use it a lot.
So, but usually, you know, we're singers. We sing all the time, and with a good night's sleep, no bare feet on cold tiles, or the air conditioning blowing at your neck. Those are two things that'll set a singer back for a day or two.
Bare feet on cold tiles
and the car air conditioning blowing at your neck. So that's real advice for anyone who wants to sing professionally.
I can understand the air. I didn't know about
You'd
the
be
feet.
Surprised, huh. Yeah. We've been singing a lot, and Dad's voice is at a great place. And I can't...
Nice, I know that.
I want to bring Garfunkel and Garfunkel on the road selectively.
Excellent.
With a priority on comfort for my father. That we can do some of these great songs and some Simon and Garfunkel songs as well.
Awesome.
We have we got plans in the making.
Yes, I was going to say what else? What's next?
We'll see where this goes. The album is new for us. I've fallen in love with it now that it exists, and we'll see where it takes us.
That's exciting.
Oh, November. Congratulations!
Thank you.
And you look amazing. You really do.
That's nice of you to say, Joanne.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
you look pretty nice yourself.
Aw, thank you. And you look so much alike.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, my goodness. You really do. Isn't that amazing?
Me and my boy.
I'm a little tired today.
I love it.
You're
very
kind.
I can't wait to see the show. We're coming.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Great. It's going to be an intimate setting. It's going to be great.
Aw, yay.
Thank you.
What does music do for people? My big question. What does music do for people?
It makes you transcend life.
It
goes beyond the cares of life. It takes you to a place that only God invented. Music is inexpressible.
It can transport people out of their daily problems and bring them just for a minute into another realm. I think my answer, that was my answer before my dad gave his. They're similar answers. Yeah, that's what we try to do, and give it a listen, and give it then a second listen, and then after the second listen, see what you think of our project.
Well, you're such beautiful people. Thank you so much for doing this. It was
Thank
an
you.
Honor
Thank
and
you.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And your beautiful voice and beautiful people, so.
Thank you.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.